Welcome to Wealthability, where we learn how to make way more money while paying way less taxes. Hi, this is Tom Wheelwright, your host. And today, I want you to think about this question. What if you could use the exact same entities that are used by the biggest companies in the world to reduce your taxes and protect your assets? I've spent over 35 years devising entity structures for hundreds of clients, all types of businesses, all types of investments. So today, we're going to discover how to select the best entities for reducing your taxes and protecting your assets. Now, let's look at the difference between typically what the small businesses do and what the large businesses do, because we want to focus on acting like the large businesses. So we'll go back to Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrant. Remember, there are four ways primarily to make money. One is as an employee. Two is as a specialist or self-employed or small business. Three is as a big business. And four is as a professional investor. Now, we recognize that how we're taxed depends on how we behave. So it really depends on, are we behaving like the employee, the self-employed, or are we behaving like the big business or the professional investor? Because if you behave like the employee, typically employees, if they make a good salary or wage, will pay about 40% in tax. And this is true in any country. Okay, this is the typical tax rate for a high-earning employee. If you get more education and you work really hard and get, you know, just really specialized, then you actually get to move up into the S quadrant where you pay 60% tax. If you then decide to shift and you start looking at, wait a minute, I want to be like a big business owner. The big business owners, they're only paying about 20% tax. This is why Warren Buffett famously said that he pays less tax than his secretary. His secretary is over here paying tax as an employee, and he's over here paying tax as a big business owner. Then we have the professional investor who can pay as little as 0%. Okay, now remember that the key here is that we don't have to be big to get the tax benefits of the big businesses and the professional investors. We just have to behave. If we want what they have, we have to behave the way they behave. So all we have to do is look at, okay, what is it that they're doing? They are going from, if we want to not necessarily go from the S quadrant to the B quadrant. Otherwise, we may not want to be a big business. We just want the tax benefits of the big business. Because ultimately, taxes are fair. Taxes are fair. And the reason they're fair is that if anybody who behaves one way gets the same result as somebody else who behaves that exact same way. Okay? Because taxes, as we know, are a series of incentives intended to accomplish the purposes that the government sets out. Let's look at some of the differences between the left side of the quadrant and the right side of the quadrant. In other words, the difference between how the typical employee and self-employed behave and the way that the typical big business owner and the typical way the professional investor behave. If we look at, for example, let's look at financial statements. Okay. Do big business owners have financial statements? Well, obviously, big businesses are required by law to have several different types of financial statements. They must have an income statement, they must have a balance sheet, they must have a statement of cash flow. And these are the fundamental ones that they must report to their investors. A professional investor will have the same financial statements. Now, a employee, does an employee have those financial statements? No, the employee doesn't even have an income statement. And that's why, as an employee, if you're going to the bank to get a loan, you have to give them your tax return. That's why. As a self-employed person, most self-employed, all they have is an income statement. Okay, so over here on the left side, these people don't really like financial statements. They're not a fan of financial statements. They don't want to report their information unless they absolutely have to. Okay, because of that, these people on the left are also very much afraid of audits. Okay, they go, audits, oh, boom, let's do anything we can to avoid an audit. Whereas over on the right side, these people embrace audits. They embrace audits. And the reason is that an audit simply verifies that what they're doing is right. It's just a verification. That's it. And a verification is always a good thing. You want to know where you are, and you want to know that what you're doing is accurate and acceptable. You'd like to be audited. Well, the big business owners and the professional investors, they get audited all the time. In fact, big business owners get audited 2 times per year. Once they have a financial statement audit, and once they have a tax audit. So when back in 2016, when Donald Trump was running for president, he didn't want to release his tax returns. And so he came up with a brilliant excuse, or a brilliant reason for not releasing his tax returns. He said, look, I'm under audit. And as long as I'm under audit, I'm not going to release my tax returns. Once I'm not under audit, I'll release my tax returns. He's a big business owner. He is always under audit. So he was never going to release his tax returns. So actually, it was politically a brilliant statement, because he never, if he could say, well, look, the IRS, the tax authorities are always auditing. They're auditing my financial statements right now. They're auditing my books right now, so I don't want to release them. Well, that was always going to be the case. Because, see, big business owners, they know they're going to get audited. So what they do is they actually do a better job of their financial statements in the first place. Their data is more accurate, okay? So think about this from a tax authority standpoint. If your data is more accurate, and the IRS knows your data is more accurate, what the IRS does, see, on the left side of the quadrant, the IRS, the tax authorities, they focus on documentation. They focus on the documents, okay? Big businesses, they're not focused on the documents. They're focused on the law, okay? And that's a big difference. You'd like them to be focused on the law. Okay, you want them to say, oh, well, we presume you have good documentation for this. But for small business owners, they typically have terrible documentation. Okay, and so all the IRS has to do is say, we don't care what the law is, we're just going to look at your documents. And that's pretty much what they do for the last several years. That's been the focus of their audits of small businesses and employees. They're looking at documentation. Whereas on big businesses, they don't have to look at that. So if you're a small business and you behave like the big business, then your documentation, you're not going to have to worry about it. Because what are you going to have? You're going to have financial statements. You're going to embrace the idea of an audit. Now, you may not have an audit. We'll talk about exactly how to do this. And again, we're talking about entities, right? But entities impact whether you have financial statements and how you prepare your financial statements. See, on the left-hand side, the small business owner and is typically a sole proprietor. The employee typically has no entity at all. Okay, they're just themselves. And a sole proprietor basically has no entity. They're just themselves, right? There's no entity there. So on the left-hand side, what they're thinking is I just need to avoid not at all costs because I don't have the documentation. On the right-hand side, they're saying, look, I have these entities set up properly, so the documentation is easy for me. In fact, the entities, if you use the right entities, it actually forces you to have better documentation. And we want to be encouraged. We'd like to have that encouragement by the tax law. The government's saying, look, if you follow these rules, we're going to give you a benefit, okay, by behaving this way, by having these good entities, having these good financial statements. Last but not least, a major difference, and we're going to talk about this because this relates to your entities. It relates to your entities and it relates to your asset protection. Over here on the left-hand side, these people are big believers in do-it-yourself. Okay, if you want something done right, you've got to do it yourself. That's their mantra. That's the mantra of the employees. That's the mantra of the self-employed. And you know it is. If you're one of, if you're like me, you're self-employed, right? Your mantra is, okay, if you got it, if you're gonna do it right, you've got to do it yourself, right? On the other hand, over on the right-hand side, they're all about team. The right-hand side is all about team because they can't do it without a team. They have to have a team. Can you imagine a big business, by definition, has a huge team? Professional investors, they can't do it by themselves. They're doing what they're good at, and then they bring in team members. They, you know, let's say they're investing in real estate. They've got to bring in people who can find the real estate. They've got to be bringing people who can manage the real estate. They've got to bring in people who can repair the real estate. They've got to bring in people who can improve the real estate or build the real estate. These people are all different people, and then they have to bring in people for all the financial side of it. They have to bring in attorneys to make sure the documents are right. So they have to have the team, okay? Well, again, the tax law and asset protection laws actually benefit those who have teams. There's actually a huge benefit in having teams. That's what we're going to talk about next, is what are these entities that you can use so that you can start behaving like the big business owner and the professional investor so that you get lower taxes, more asset protection, and a lower risk of audit. So let's go to that. Okay, so let's look at legal versus tax entities. Okay, we need to begin by understanding what are the different types of entities for under state law purposes and what are the different types of entities under tax law purposes, because they are very different laws, or they can be very different laws. So legal versus tax. We're going to just draw it just like this, okay? So on the legal side of things, we have a sole proprietor. So let's start with that one. We might as well start with the worst, right? So we have a sole proprietor. A sole proprietor is basically no entity at all. Basically no entity at all. Because what you're saying is, I'm just taking on all the liability. It's just me, you know, no entity. I don't have a limited liability company, no corporation, nothing. Okay, it's just me. On the tax side, we also have a sole proprietor. Okay, we have a sole proprietor, and sole proprietors are taxed a certain way, and we'll talk about the different ways that these different entities are taxed on our next slide. Okay, so we have sole proprietor. Then what do we have? Then we have a general partnership. General partnership. Okay, on the tax side, we have a general partnership. Okay, so on the tax side, we have a general partnership as well. On the legal side, we have a limited partnership. Okay, this is a limited partnership. On the tax side, we also have a limited partnership. On the legal side, we have a corporation. On the tax side, we have an S corporation, and we have a C corporation. These are two different taxed entities. They're taxed differently. We'll talk about that in our next slide. So for legal purposes, there's only a corporation. There's no such thing as an S corporation for state law legal purposes or asset protection purposes. A corporation is a corporation, okay? There's no such thing as a C corporation, okay? So if you say, I set up a C corporation, that's a tax designation. What you're saying is you set up an entity that's being taxed as a C under subchapter C of the Internal Revenue Code. If you say, I set up an S corporation, what you're saying is you set up an entity that's being taxed under subchapter S of the Internal Revenue Code. If you say, for legal purposes, I set up a corporation, we don't even know how it's taxed because we get to make that choice. Okay, we get choices in the tax law. Okay, now, for legal purposes, we have what we call a limited liability company. For tax purposes, we do not have that. This is also called an LLC, of course. There is no such thing as an LLC in tax law. An LLC does not exist in tax law. What does that mean? That means that for tax purposes, a limited liability company is either going to be a sole proprietorship, a general partnership, a limited partnership, an S corporation, or a C corporation. We have to choose. So if you say you have an S corporation, I don't know when you say that, if you're saying I have a limited liability tax as an S corporation or I have a corporation tax as an S corporation. For tax purposes, an S corporation, an LLC tax as an S corporation is identical to a corporation tax as an S corporation. They are identical for tax purposes. There is no difference for tax purposes. There's a big difference for legal purposes, which we'll get to. But there's a big difference for legal purposes. There's no difference for tax purposes. Same with a C corporation. Same with a limited partnership. Okay, these are all tax entities, not legal entities. Now, there's one more legal entity that we do want to mention, even though we're not going to talk a lot about it, and that is that we have a trust. And a trust is an interesting legal entity because a trust is really an agreement. Okay, a trust and agreement. All entities are agreements, but a trust even more so is an agreement between three people, basically. Okay, there's the grantor, the person who puts, or the settlor, the person who puts the money in. There's the beneficiary, that's the person who's going to get benefit of it. And then there's the trustee, and they're the ones who manage the trust. They run the trust. So a trust is an entity that works like an agreement. Okay, now, on the tax side, we actually have three types of trusts. We have a simple trust, we have a complex trust, and we have a grantor trust. Okay. Now we'll talk a little bit about all of these entities and how they're taxed. So understand, a trust is a trust. So somebody comes to me and they say, I've got a land trust. That's not meaningful to me. I don't know what even that means. Somebody asked me that question the other day. I've got this land, you know, how does the land trust work? I'm going, I don't know what state you're in. You know, frequently a land trust is just a grantor trust. I mean, it's like nothing, okay? But you could you have a land trust, a trust that held land. That's all land trust is, by the way. It's a trust that holds land, right? So I want to get really clear. Once we get clear on the language, remember, the B and the I side of the cash flow quadrant, these guys understand the language, okay? And understanding the language of law versus tax, okay, state law versus tax law, is critical to be able to have a conversation with your tax advisor, with your attorney, and even with a bank, okay? Because even when you're going for financing or you're going to raise money, understanding this terminology is critical that there, again, take a minute and think about this. The difference between legal entities and tax entities. I would suggest you take a minute right now. I think you ought to pause the video right now and talk to somebody that you're working with on your education and talk to them about the differences between, explain the best you can, the difference between a legal entity and a tax entity, okay? Legal has everything to do with how that entity is handled from a state law standpoint, okay? Lawsuits, asset protection, all that kind of stuff. Taxes are purely tax law. That's it. It only is tax law. It may be federal tax law, it may be state tax law, but it's just taxes, okay? So big difference between the two, legal versus tax. Now let's go to how the different tax entities are taxed, okay? Because we have all these tax entities, they're taxed differently, right? So here we're gonna go. So now we have taxable, the different types of tax entities are really fundamentally taxable versus non-taxable. What I mean by that is, well, you know what? I'm not going to call them non-taxable, all right? What we're going to do is, instead of calling them non-taxable, we're going to use what's become a common terminology with this new bill, which is a pass-through entity, okay? Pass-through. Okay, taxable versus pass-through. Now, all right, let's look at the taxable entities. There aren't very many taxable entities. In fact, a taxable entity means that the entity itself is paying income tax. The entity itself is paying income tax. Okay, the shareholders may, or the owners may also pay income tax, but the entity itself, the income of the entity is being taxed to the entity. The entity actually pays the tax. So the big one, of course, that most people are familiar with is a C corporation. A C corporation pays tax on its income, on its net income. It has its own rules. C corporation is subchapter C of the Internal Revenue Code. It has its own rules for paying tax. The rules for individuals are very different from the rules for C corporations. And there are some great benefits that C corporations can have because of that. And there's some detriments. And then I'll go through examples of both the taxable and the pass-through in our next slide. We'll go through taxable because when we talk about business investments, sometimes we want to be taxable and sometimes we don't. The other type of taxable entity is called a complex trust. And a complex trust is one that does not distribute all of its income, okay? It's a trust that actually holds on to some of its income. That's typically a complex trust. And so the trust itself pays tax. And the trust tax rates are very, very high. They're the highest rates of any taxpayer are the complex trust rates. So those are the two taxable entities. Let's look at the pass-through entities. Okay, number one, the dreaded sole proprietorship. Okay, a sole proprietorship is a pass-through entity. Again, it's not technically an entity, okay, for tax purposes. It's just you. It's your business or your real estate, and it's a sole proprietorship, right? All the income is taxed to you. There's no entity in the first place to be taxed. It's all you. Now, a limited liability company can be taxed as a sole proprietorship. A sole proprietorship for tax purposes means a single owner. Once again, for tax purposes, a sole proprietorship means an entity that has a single owner that is not a trust and not a corporation, okay? So any entity that has a single owner, well, what does that leave you with? Limited liability company. That's the only type of company can have a single owner or no entity at all where you're just operating, you know, with a business license. That's it. Okay, that's a sole proprietor. Next, we have general partnership. And we have limited partnership. These are flow-through entities. What that means is that the taxable income of the business or the investment that's owned by the general partnership or the limited partnership is not taxed to the entity. It's all of it, whether distributed or not, is taxed to the owners. In this case, they're called partners. Now, general partnership means that everybody has management authority. That's what a general partnership means for tax purposes. Everybody has management authority. Okay, so a limited liability company where everybody has management authority, we call this a member-managed LLC, is a general partnership. A member-managed LLC, as a general rule, is a general partnership. Typically, it's a general partnership. A limited partnership has general partners and limited partners. The limited partners have no control over management of the company. The general partners control the management of the company. If this were a limited liability company, that would be a manager-managed limited liability company, where one of the owners, or it doesn't even have to be an owner, but one of the owners or more of the owners manage the company, and the other owners are, we call them silent partners, okay? They're investors in the partnership. They don't get to manage. They don't write checks. They don't get authority to make decisions, okay, except in limited cases, right? So a general partnership and limited partnership are pass-through, meaning that the income is taxed to the owners. In this case, we call them partners, okay? If they're a limited liability, it's a limited liability company, we call them members, but for tax purposes, we call them partners, okay? So if your tax advisor is talking to you about your limited liability company that is taxed as a partnership, and they say, okay, this partner and this partner, you say, wait, no, they're members. They're members for legal state law purposes. For tax purposes, they're partners. Remember, no such thing as an LLC in the tax law. So when we talk about taxes, we're going to talk about general partnerships and limited partnerships. We are not going to talk about LLCs. So please, don't send me an email and say, I've got this LLC, so therefore I'm taxed as a partnership. No, that's not true. You're an LLC, so therefore you get to choose how you're taxed. Are you going to be taxed as a C corporation, which is a taxable entity, or are you going to be taxed as sole proprietorship, general partnership, limited partnership, or you could be taxed as an S corporation. An S corporation is also a pass-through entity in most cases. There are limited cases where S corporations pay tax, but in most cases, S corporations are pass-through entities, meaning that the income is not taxed at the entity level, it's taxed to the owners. In this case, if we say I have an S corporation, I'm going to say, okay, your shareholders are getting distributions, okay, in the nature of dividends. They're not taxable dividends. They're non-taxable dividends or non-taxable distributions, typically because they're a distribution from the S corporation, okay? You may be a limited liability company. Again, a limited liability company, it's a member for legal purposes. It's a shareholder for tax purposes. And your documents should reflect that, okay? So if you've got a limited liability company taxed as an S corporation, you want the documents to follow, so you have an operating agreement. You want the documents to follow what the rules are for corporations from a tax standpoint. They follow what the rules are for LLCs from a legal standpoint, but they must follow the rules as a tax standpoint. For example, an S corporation, corporations must distribute cash pro rata to their shareholders. So in other words, if you own 90% of a company, you get 90% of the cash. If you own 10% of the company, you get 10% of the cash. As an S corporation, the cash must be distributed that way. If I'm an LLC taxed as a partnership, I don't have to distribute that way. I can have 90% ownership and get 50% of the cash flow, or 50% ownership and get 90% of the cash flow. So partnerships have a lot more flexibility than corporations do from a tax standpoint. Now, also pass-through entities. We have a couple more. We have, and you'll remember these from before. We have a grantor trust. And a grantor trust can be a pass-through entity either to the grantor or to the beneficiary. Okay, if it's a pass-through to the beneficiary, we call it a beneficiary defective trust. A beneficiary defective trust. Okay, beneficiary defective trust, it's taxed to the beneficiary. Normally, a grantor trust is taxed to the grantor, person who puts the money in. You can do a grantor trust where it's taxed to the beneficiary. It's always a flow-through entity, okay, just to one or the other, and never to the trustee, okay? Also, as a pass-through entity, we have simple trusts. And a simple trust is one where all of the income is distributed. It's a regular trust. It's not a grantor trust. It's a regular trust, and all of the income is distributed. Okay, so if there's any income, it has, by law, to be distributed. That's what's called a simple trust, okay? So here's your pass-through entities. Here's your taxable entities. Now, what I want to do next is I want to talk about when to use them, okay? When to use these different entities, and then we'll talk about the asset protection side, okay? So we're going to go when to use these entities, and we'll talk about the asset protection side. So let's look at when to use the entities, a pass-through versus a taxable to begin with, okay? All right, so we're going to talk about when. To use. Now I have my own thoughts about when to use different types of entities. Okay. Now, if I'm in a business, so I have business on one side, and over on the other side, I have investments. Now, business and investments have very different tax results. Okay? A business deductions are the best deductions. Any expense could be deductible if it's a business expense. A business also is subject to what we call self-employment tax. And I'm going to refer to it as SE tax, okay? So SE tax, which is self-employment tax, which is really, if you think about why are sole proprietors, for example, or small businesses, typically tax at a higher rate than employees. Well, employees are paying income tax, but they're not paying the employer's share of Social Security taxes. A self-employed person, you have to pay both sides. You have to pay both the employer's share and the employee's share because you're both the employer and the employee, right? You're both sides of it. So you have to pay SE tax. So because of that, we'd like to reduce our self-employment tax. Our self-employment tax is anywhere from our self-employment tax, the rates, you can find it, by the way, what the rates are and at what levels you can find in our Fast Facts. That changes all the time, what the rates are. It's significant. It can be anywhere, depending on where you live and your country and your state, it can be anywhere from 15% to 40% or more. So self-employment tax is a big deal, okay? This is a tax. It's not income tax. It's calculated. The base of it, in other words, what's being taxed is calculated much like income tax. It's a net number, okay? However, it's a very different rate, and it's actually very different rules. So self-employment tax, if I look at my – so do I get any self-employment tax if I'm a taxable entity? No, there's no self-employment tax because as a taxable entity, technically you're not self-employed. So there's no self-employment tax. So – for taxable, we can say that there's just no self-employment tax, okay? Now, you might have to pay Social Security taxes on your wages that you take out of the business, but the dividends are not subject to self-employment tax, and the earnings of the corporation are not subject to self-employment tax. So you go, oh, well, that's a big win, right? Okay, now, also not subject to self-employment tax, so we've got tax the taxable entities, but we also have S-corporations. S-corporation income is not subject to self-employment tax. Again, you may have Social Security tax on the wages you pay yourself. However, the distributions or dividends you take from the company and the income of the company itself is not subject to self-employment tax. This is a big reason we use S-corporations for businesses, for operating businesses. Okay, so let's talk next about what an operating business is. Well, after we talk about investments, we're going to talk about what's an operating business. Investments, on the other hand, things like real estate, I'm talking about investment real estate. Let's be really clear here. What's the clear difference between a business and investment? A business earns money based on effort. An investment makes money based on time. Okay, so a business makes money is based on effort. An investment makes money based on time. So let's take real estate as an example. If I go in and fix and flip a house or a property, if I fix it up and I flip it, is that effort or is that time? Does time have anything to do with it? No. It's all effort. So therefore, it's going to be subject to the business tax, right? And it'll be subject to self-employment tax. Investments, however, if I go in and buy that same property, I fix it up, okay, but then I rent it over time. So I'm getting paid for time, right? That's what rent is. It's a payment for time. If I get paid for time as opposed to paid for effort, then I get a different tax result. It's an investment tax result. Investment tax, there is for investments, and that could be real estate, it could be stocks or paper, assets, okay? If I have investments, then therefore I have no SE tax. Okay, I don't have self-employment tax on investment income by definition. Okay, it's not employment income, right? It's not something I've done, I've created an effort. Employment implies effort. So there's no self-employment, right? I'm not employing myself. All I'm doing is I'm investing. Okay, I'm investing some of my time. Okay, so am I going to put some effort into this? Absolutely. But guess what? If the intention, I'm going to make that word big and bold here. If my intention is to hold up for a long period of time and make money from time, then even if I put effort into it, I still get the tax benefits of being an investment, okay? If my intention is effort, even if there's time involved. So in other words, if I rehab that property and I immediately put it on the market and I don't sell it for 2 years, I'm still gonna have business income on that property, because my intention was to reap rewards for my effort. I may not have been successful, okay? I may not have turned it immediately, but my intention was to make money from my effort. I'm constantly marketing, okay? I don't just put it out for rent. I'm not making money on time. My intention is to make money on my effort. So whatever your intention is determines whether it's business or investment. Well, you can see, okay, so what type of entity do I want if it's an investment? Well, as a business, I'd like either a taxable C corp, right? Taxable C. Or I want an S corp. If I have an investment, I don't want a taxable C or an S corp. What I want is I want a pass-through. I want a pass-through for investments. Why is that? Because there's no benefit to being in a taxable or to being in a business type entity because I don't have self-employment tax to begin with. So the pass-through entities that non-S-Corp, okay? So sole proprietor, general partnership, limited partnership, okay? Those are the types of entities I want to be in with an investment because there's no downside to being, from a tax standpoint, to being in that type of an entity. There are actually downsides to being in a corporation. I want to talk about why not to use corporations for investments. Okay, so let's do a new slide here. And I'm going to call this when not to use. When not to use. I don't want to use a corporation for an investment because, all right, let's draw this out. Let's say that you're the taxpayer and you have, let's say it's an LLC taxed as a corporation, and let's make it even an S corporation. And what does it own? Let's say it owns your rental real estate. Okay, rental real estate is what kind of real estate? It's an investment, right? Rental real estate is an investment. Let's say this is your situation. Now, sometime down the road, you decide, I'd like to distribute. Okay, so during you're owning it and the income passes through, the losses pass through, okay? For the most part, I'm going to tell you one thing that doesn't work well on here for losses. But you're going along, and all of a sudden you go, I'd like to distribute this property. I'd like to take this property, and I'd like to distribute it to myself. And the reason may be, I just want to get a new loan on it. I want to refinance it. And if I refinance it, then the bank may want it in my personal name to refinance it, particularly if it's a smaller property, okay? When that happens, out of an S corporation, that is a taxable event, which means there is tax on the gain. You're saying, wait a minute, there's no gain. Yes, there is. The difference between value of the property and your basis, which is your cost less depreciation, okay, let's put cost in here. The difference, value over basis equals gain. So you don't get, you may not have gotten any money because you didn't actually sell it, right? But you have to recognize that gain. And that's true for a C corporation or an S corporation. Let me tell you one other thing that happens. We're going to talk about leveraging that and actually creating a loss for tax purposes. Well, if you're in an S corporation, your loss may be limited. And here's why. You get the tax benefit from the depreciation that is ascribed to the bank's money, right? The bank lends you 80%, you put in 20%, right? But your loss may exceed your 20%. Let me give you a really good example. when the Trump tax bill was passed in 2017, they allowed for bonus depreciation on used property, which meant that you could effectively get up to 30-40% of the cost of a property as a deduction in the year you bought it. If you got a 30% deduction, though, and you only put in 20%, if you were an S corporation, you would be limited to the 20%. Now, you want to listen to this again. If you were an S corporation, you would be limited in your loss to the amount of money you put in. If you're a partnership, so let's do the right thing over here. Now over here, instead, you're an LLC. We'll call it a sole proprietorship for that matter, okay? And this is, again, this is rental real estate, right? The same rental real estate. Now that loss, the 100% of the loss is available to you, okay? Whereas over here, the loss is got to be less than or equal to your investment, your personal investment. Now, there's all sorts of things we can do with that. I was talking to a dentist the other day, and he could have saved a bunch of money had he started his company as a sole proprietorship or a partnership. Okay, it was an LLC. Could have started as a partnership, for example, in the first year where he had a loss, and then converted it to an S corporation. So there's all sorts of things we can do with these entities. All right, I'm scratching the surface here. We understand that your entities and how you structure this is about 50% of the work of creating a good tax strategy. It's about 50% of the work. It's an enormous, has enormous impact on this, and there's so many options. You can combine all of these entities. You can combine all the entities. You might have, for example, okay, so that's one not to use. Let me give you an example of a good use. All right, good use. Okay, good use. What do we have here? We have over here, you're the taxpayer, and you have a business, okay? And this is an S corporation, and this is your business, right? We're gonna limit our self-employment, our Social Security taxes to what we take out of salary, which basically should be, you know, a reasonable salary. Now, you also, over here, you also own, let's say, you and your spouse, taxpayer and spouse, you own real estate, okay? Now, you own real estate. We don't need to be a corporation if it's rental real estate, right? We don't need to be corporations. So now we're a partnership with our spouse. For now, I just want to explain. Business, typically S corporation, or we could do a C corporation for the same business. Why would we do that? Well, it depends on your tax rates, right? So if you look at our fast facts down below, you're going to see what the tax rates are. If your tax rates for a C corporation are significantly less than your tax rates as an individual, then you may want to consider a C corporation if you're going to leave the money in the company. Because remember, in a C corporation, when the money comes out, they're subject to tax. The money that comes out is subject to tax, and this is a dividend, okay? And it's taxed as a dividend. usually at capital gains rates. That's changed over time. So if it's not taxed as at capital gains rates, we'll note it, of course, in the fast facts. So there may be times if you're reinvesting if you're keeping all the money in the business and the tax rates for the C corporation is a lot lower than the tax rates for you personally, then you may want to consider a C corporation for your business. For your real estate, never. It just never makes sense to have your real estate or your other investments. Now, we think about oil and gas as an investment. However, it's an investment in a business. So anytime we have an investment in a business, okay, oil and gas, is that time or is that effort? That's effort, isn't it? Oil and gas is effort. Because what are we doing? We're exploring, we're determining there's oil down there, we're drilling, we're spending a lot of money to drill and pump that money out of the ground, and it's the drilling process that creates the results. So that's an investment in a business. An investment in business, again, we're going to hold investments in business like we do business. So we have potential self-employment tax even in oil and gas. Now, let's talk for a minute about asset protection. Asset protection. You're out there, you're trying to build your wealth. You're building your business. You're building your real estate portfolio. You're building your stock portfolio. You're investing in precious metals. You're investing in oil and gas, commodities. You've got a farm, whatever it is, solar. You're building this idea of building a legacy, right? There are people out there that you are a target. And that's why we always, always look at asset protection. I'm going to, at this point, be really clear that I am not an attorney. We're going to talk about team in a minute. Attorney is somebody you're going to need on your team. I'm going to give you the general information for asset protection. You should absolutely speak to an attorney. And we have referrals for attorneys. And in fact, for asset protection attorneys, we've actually listed some in our fast facts. Okay, so you've got some asset protection attorneys to pull from. I'm going to give you general information. Okay, so please, please run this by your asset protection attorney. I'm not an attorney. This is not advice. This is general information. All right, so you're trying to prevent being a target. Now you have a business. Let's say that your business is owned in a corporation. Okay. Now, I don't care if this is taxed as a C corporation or an S corporation. It's just a corporation for legal purposes, right? Now, let's say that you, the target, get sued, I don't know, for something that your teenager did. And they win, and you don't have enough insurance to cover that. Okay, so what'll happen? Well, they get whatever you have. What do you have? You have shares in a corporation. If anybody who has shares in a corporation can do what? They can vote the shares. Well, if you own 100%, what can they do? They can liquidate the corporation. Right? Now, let's say instead, if I can erase this, that you still own 100%, but instead of being a corporation, you decided, I'm going to be a limited liability company. Okay? So you're a corporation, you're either taxed as a C or an S. You want to be taxed as a C or an S. So you go, okay, I'm thinking, how about if I'm a corporation, if I'm a limited liability company taxed as a corporation, okay, that's why I draw a triangle, which represents a limited liability company or partnership. surrounded by a square. That's a limited liability company taxed as a corporation. Okay, so you have shares, but you really have a membership interest, right? Membership interest is what you have. You don't have shares. You have a membership interest. You still own 100%. Now you get sued. Well, what do they get? They get what's called, in many states, not all states, but in many states, they get what's called a charging order. And a charging order is a little bit like garnishing wages. It means that when you get paid, they get the money. If you don't get paid, they don't get the money. So a charging order, when they get paid by the, when you get a distribution, there's a distribution out, then that has to go to the plaintiff. However, what if this is a manager managed? Let's say that this is a manager managed LLC. Okay, you're the manager. Are you going to distribute money? No. Now remember that the purpose of asset protection, one purpose is to win in case of a lawsuit. I believe, this is my own personal philosophy, that the more important reason for asset protection is to prevent a lawsuit. I want to prevent lawsuits. So if somebody sues me, what can they get? They get a charging order, but all of my assets are owned by LLCs that are properly protected. They're in the right state. They're done properly. I want to give you a little bit, though, about the entities, because understand that the reason we use limited liability companies, which are legal entities, and we use them and we tax them as partnerships and sole proprietorships and S corporations and C corporations, the reason we do that is not for tax purposes. For tax purposes, we could use a regular corporation or a regular partnership. We do it for asset protection purposes. Okay, so that charging order is critical. It's a little bit like if you're out in the woods with your buddy, and all of a sudden you get chased by a bear, you do not have to outrun the bear. You just have to outrun your buddy. And that's what you're trying to do here. Well, you want to be the one who doesn't get sued. And then if you are sued, you want to make sure you've done everything right. So this is just a little brief on asset protection. Now, I want to finish up with team, because I think team is so important to using your entities. Okay, so we're going to talk about team here. Now, let's look at who's on your team. Who's the most important person on your team? Well, that would be you. Okay, that's you. Now, we have who's the next most important person on your team. We need to keep accurate records. So that means that the next most important person on your team is your bookkeeper. Okay, and that's not your mother-in-law. Okay. No offense, mother-in-law, okay? Now, my wife's mother-in-law would have been a great choice because she was a professional accountant. For the most part, that's not your mother-in-law, okay? That's a professional bookkeeper. They are all about, the purpose of a bookkeeper is accurate data. Accurate data. Okay. So can you ever imagine a big business or a professional investor not having a bookkeeper? No, of course not. I mean, they've got tons of bookkeepers, right? Tons of people entering that information and making sure it's accurate. Okay. Now, the next person you have is you have this person over here, which I'm going to refer to. Okay. I'm going to refer to as an accountant. Or a CPA. This is a high level, could be your tax advisor. It's a high level accountant. What an accountant does is, an accountant, their purpose is to analyze data. That's their purpose, okay? So the bookkeeper actually inputs accurate data, and the accountant CPA analyzes the data. Now we have another person that's very important here. Talked about him, and this one should be obvious to you now, but we now need to have an attorney. Okay, why do we need to have an attorney? Well, we talked about that, asset protection. We've got to have somebody who's watching that, and the attorney is going to work with the accountant and the bookkeeper, right? So this is a team. Now, we have one more person that's critical in this group, and that person is going to be the banker. Okay, because the banker is going to be working with the accountant and the attorney, not the bookkeeper. Banker never talks to the bookkeeper, ever. Again, what does this have to do with entities? Well, the accountant and the attorney are working to set up the entities. The bookkeeper is the one who's actually putting the information into the entities, and the banker is the one using the information from the entities. And a banker wants to see entities. They want to see the proper entities. Okay, if all they see is a sole proprietorship, they're going to ask for your personal tax return, and you're limited to your personal tax return. If you have entities, they're going to look to the entities. And your entities, now we have different accounting we can do for entities. We have a balance sheet. We have an income statement. Okay, we have somebody, an accountant, reviewing, analyzing the data and reviewing the data, making sure it's accurate. Okay, making sure the bookkeeper did their job. So all of these work together with your entities. And again, are you starting to understand why entities are so important? They're the backbone of your tax structure. They're the backbone of your tax strategy. Okay, so remember, when you have really good entities, when you have a really good team, you can make way more money and pay way less taxes. Thanks, and I'll see you next time.